Listening into that, Peter Haywood Butts, who's chief executive at Ethos Capital. Ethos Capital has a range of really interesting investments, among them Sterkinecor. Prime Media is amongst those investments, not doing particularly well, but we blame the economy for that one. Of course, the other interesting one is Virgin Active. Peter Haywood Butts is chief executive at Ethos Capital. Why is it, Peter, that investment companies like yours trade at such a big discount to what you declare is the value of the underlying businesses? Some are listed, and so that makes it easier to value them. Some, however, of course, are unlisted. Why is there just this huge discount?
Evening, Bruce, and evening to your listeners. It's a good question. I think it's prevalent amongst all the listed holding companies, to be honest. I think the very simple answer, and I give this all the time to investors, is, you know, it's incumbent on the management teams and us to deliver a return on equity that exceeds your cost of equity. And if you do so, it's like a bank, you should trade at a premium to your NAV. And if you don't, you'll trade at a discount. That's part of the story. The other part of the story is, you know, the fixed costs that reside within, you know, these listed holding companies. And we at, you know, Ethos Capital try to keep that to a minimum, but there is obviously, you know, a cost. And then it's around capital allocation, quite frankly. You know, to the extent that you've got 100 Rand to spend, you know, do you invest it in new businesses or new investments, or buy back your own shares, which trade at a pretty significant discount? So, you know, there's lots of answers to that. You know, from our perspective, we are 5 years into a journey. Started investing 5 years ago. We're now fully invested. And we owe it to our investors now to get a return that's above our cost of equity.
How far are you from achieving that goal?
So if you look at this year, it was, a dichotomy. We had probably most of our portfolio companies, by that I probably mean, you know, 75 to 80% of our portfolio companies rebounded very well, you know, with, I think, the NAV growth from the non-COVID-related portfolio companies was about 23%. So that was a good outcome, albeit there's a bit of base effect there. It wasn't a particularly good year last year, right? But obviously we were dragged down by a couple of COVID-related companies. I think you mentioned some of them, Sterkinecor, Virgin Active, and a business called Kevra. You know, those dragged down the overall returns. So we've still got a long way to go. And, you know, I think we are confident. I'm more confident than when I spoke to you this time 12 months ago. But there's still a long way to go in the South African context.
And there are 22 investee companies in the portfolio, and we'll talk about the more successful ones in a moment, but the ones with which people are really familiar, Virgin Active is one of those, of course. It was owned by Brait. You took over Brait, and so Virgin Active then is in your stable. Is it on the way back? Is there a sign of a rebound happening there?
Yeah, there is, Bruce. And if we talked 12 months ago, there was a lot of talk about, you know, did gyms have a future at all? You know, were people just going to train at home, et cetera? We were pretty confident at the time that that thesis wouldn't prevail, and we're seeing it. You know, people continue to come to our gyms. I use the UK as an example, you know, which was closed for many months at the beginning of the year, opened up in May, and we're seeing sort of sales 50% above what they were pre-COVID. So, you know, I do think gyms will still have a place to play. That said, I think people have changed. You know, their habits. There'll probably be a hybrid between training at home and training in the gyms, and we've got to make sure that the experience offered to members coming to our gyms is stellar, something that gets them up in the morning, gets them excited, you know, that personal trainer who pushes you that extra mile. It's those sorts of things that are going to get people to come back to the gyms.
You get the personal trainer to do the exercise and I'm in. What about the movies? I mean, everybody loves the movies. There, of course, have been shutdowns of movie theatres, and the movie industry has been significantly disrupted by COVID-19. Finally, the James Bond movie, I think, comes out in the next couple of days. It should have come out, of course, about 18 months ago. And is there a lot of content waiting to be released on the world? I mean, are we going to see a resurgence in attendances there?
Yeah, I think the movie theatres are in a different space to the gyms, to be honest. I think there was a lot of headwinds, you know, going into COVID, quite frankly. Those industries and the cinema industry survives around, you know, very big content, big James Bond type movies coming out, you know, periodically throughout the year. Now, clearly that hasn't happened. You know, they've all been put on pause. I think people still enjoy the experience of going to the movie theatres. We've seen numbers start to pick up again. They're nowhere near what they were, you know, pre-COVID. And even, unfortunately, pre-COVID, they were on a declining slope. So, again, I think we've got to think creatively out the box about how do you get people, what's the entertainment factor to get people back into the theatres. But, you know, with good content, that will bring people back. But I do think that industry is under some pressure going forward.
I mean, the Sterkinecor itself under business rescue. What is the process there?
Yeah, so, you know, we've been, you know, supportive of, you know, obviously the business rescue practitioner has been running that business pretty much since, I think it was April, May. It is making progress towards a solution. It requires all stakeholders, the landlords, you know, the equity providers, debt providers to come to the party. You know, we continue to engage with the business rescue practitioner, and he's, you know, hoping to come out, you know, I would say in the next 4 to 6 weeks, hopefully with something that will rescue the business. But it's, you know, it's a tough industry to be in, and we need all stakeholders to come to the party with a sensible solution there.
Will we be seeing the next James Bond, whoever that might be, in a movie theatre this time next year or 2 years from now? Is there a future for this business? You've been running businesses for long enough to be able to read the tea leaves on this?
Yeah, I think we will, to be honest. I do think what we do need is a structural shift in the cost base there. And by that, I mean, you know, if you look at the rentals that have been charged for those sort of businesses over many, many years, you know, cinemas do bring footfall into those retail centres. And I do think and it's been a good engagement, to be honest, with many of the landlords, requiring a reset around the cost base there. And I think if we can get it all right, I think we will see those businesses survive. It'll be difficult to know whether they will thrive, but I certainly think they will survive and be around in, you know, hopefully the foreseeable future.
You've had some star performers. There are 5 businesses, unlisted investments, that actually did grow their profits very strongly, north of 23-24%. You know, not all businesses are dead in the water.
No, I think that's right. And I do think it's a question of, you know, where, you know, which sector you play in and which geographies you play in. You know, from the perspective of one of our bigger businesses that is about 28% of our net asset value, is a business called Channel Vass. It's present in 28 countries around the world. It's like a fintech company, effectively lends airtime. It's like airtime credit services, lends money to people who want to top up their airtime and they then pay it back. It's been a phenomenal success. And that's grown, you know, into new countries, new territories, and into new products. So, you know, if you can span more than one country and more than one product, you know, you can see massive success. And that's been one of them. You know, some of the other businesses, even in the South African context, have seen, particularly in the last 6 months, a rapid turnaround. You know, a business called Gammatech, which, you know, when you buy a mobile phone, provides all the accessories, you know, to that, had a tough first 6 months of the year, but the last 6 months of the year have been phenomenal for it. So I think South Africa's bounced back relatively quickly. It seems that the consumers are bouncing back and relatively robust, and we're probably more bullish than we were certainly 12 months ago that, you know, that's set to continue.
Peter Haywood-Butt, thank you. He's Chief Executive at Ethos Capital, talking to us this evening on The Money Show.
The Money Show. The Markets.
Before we talk to Sibonise Nxumalo, the portfolio manager at the Old Mutual Investment Group, I must just tell you about load shedding. It's deeply concerning. If you live in northeastern China, experiencing unannounced power cuts, huge electricity shortages, initially it hit factories, and now spreading to homes. We know that all too well, of course, in South Africa. And we've seen people in China complaining on social media about a lack of heating, lifts not working, traffic lights not working, and local media said it was because coal prices had risen and it was leading to a shortage of supply. And we know that the Chinese economy is heavily dependent on coal as the rest of the world tries to wean itself off the stuff. But one power company in China was saying that it expected power cuts to last until spring next year. So that's at least 6 months, and unexpected outages would become the new normal. And then that post was deleted by somebody. So the extent of the blackouts isn't really clear, but 100 million people live in these 3 provinces. So it is massive.